Hey, everybody. Welcome yet again to your WWE podcast. Tonight, we are going to talk about Monday Night Raw that occurred last night in Orlando, Florida, at the Performance Center on May 4th. And so we're going to get to that in just a minute, including thoughts on Edge and Orton apparently not being over and scheduled for next week. The reveal of what the Money in the Bank ladder match could look like on Sunday. And AJ Styles makes his return and is, I think, the front runner and the favorite to win the Money in the Bank contract this Sunday. So we're going to get it all started right after this. Hey, so if you guys have a podcast or are thinking about one, you know how important it is to have great audio quality and have great intros and outros. It tells your audience that you're serious about what you do. So don't leave your audio up to chance. Get it done by a professional, and look no further than Alex with DB Sound. He's on Fiverr and has over 1,300 five-star reviews. There isn't a single negative review. Guys, I've never seen this on Fiverr. So check out DB Sound. And what does he offer? Well, there are three different packages starting at $10, $20, and $30. And he offers volume leveling, noise minimizing, adding your intros and outros. He'll deliver it as an MP3. And a super quick turnaround. That's extremely important, right? You want your product done well, but you want it quickly. So again, you're going to want to search DB Sound, all one word, on Fiverr. And I'm going to put a link to this service in the description of this show, and I'm tweeting it out on my feed. So you're going to want to check this out, guys. DB Sound, go check it out and experience it for yourself, and you'll understand why there are 1,300 five-star reviews for this service. So check it out, guys. You'll be really glad you did. Hey, guys. Not because you need to, but because you would want to. Improve your weight room and bedroom performance with the all-new VasoFlux for Men. It's a natural dietary supplement. This unique blend of barks, roots, herbs, and vitamins is nature's way of keeping you in the game. And for under $10, you can order yours today. Just visit Youth Fountain Laboratory at youthfountainlab.com. That's youthfountainlab, all one word, .com. Or call 1-800-853-7856. That's 1-800-853-7856.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? 'Cause Stone Cold said so.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the WWE Podcast. It is May 5th, 2020. And for those of you that have about as much Mexican heritage in you as I do, then yo quiero Taco Bell, right? I mean, that's pretty much the extent of my Mexican heritage. But it still would have been exciting to celebrate nonetheless, especially given that there's really not a whole lot to celebrate right now. You can't go anywhere. I know that many of us are starting to reopen or hearing rumors of reopening, and I'll just say, please be safe. You know, wear a mask if you can, right? I mean, pretty much common sense, and let's move on. I don't want to talk about the pandemic that's just sucking up all of our lives. We're here to talk about the fun stuff. We're here to play in the sandbox, as we say, and talk about the WWE and talk about Monday Night Raw. And we're going to get to that. And there's a lot of interesting things that happened last night on Raw. A lot of them good. I'm not going to sit here and say interesting means bad. And some good things I'd say right off the bat, Liv Morgan's promo against Charlotte, her confidence, and her match against Charlotte. And I'll get to that too down the line. AJ Styles returning. Apparently Orton and Edge isn't over. We had a lot of positives here. Seth is really starting to come into his own against Drew McIntyre, but Drew is also holding up his end of being what a champion feels like. So there's a lot of good going on. I know that many times I'm critical of the product, but the fact is, when it's good, I also call it when it's good. And right now, I am enjoying Raw, given the element and the environment we're in. I have forgotten that there's a crowd, and that's That's a good thing. I've gotten used to the awkward silence and awkward pauses and sounds that I normally don't hear, right? I mean, you actually hear the ropes. You hear the ropes stretching. I mean, you don't believe me. Go back and listen. It was the closing segment of Raw with Seth Rollins trying to go for the stomp. He leaned on the rope and you can hear the ropes like stretch. I mean, so these little just nuances that you otherwise wouldn't hear if there were fans in attendance. You hear, I've actually heard calls given by referees to the talent in the ring. I've actually heard that. Like, I heard 20 seconds to close, 20 seconds to close, hard cam, hard cam, hard cam. I mean, I've heard these things. I mean, things that you know that the crowd noise would otherwise mute out. But it's been a fun ride. I've gotten over the shock and awe of it from 7 weeks ago. And I'm starting to settle into this new phase of what wrestling is in a no-fan environment. And the shock and awe of it is now over. But does that mean I don't want fans back? Hell no. Right? And there are rumors floating around that Florida could be allowing, at least in a partial capacity, fans to attend sporting events. And if that's the case, alle effing luia, right? Alle effing luia, if that's the case. And as long as it's safe, okay? I'm not advocating everyone go and, you know, make out with your neighbor next to you, right? I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if it's social distancing or whatever they have to do to make sure that the density isn't a problem with people there, then I'm all for it, even if it's in a limited capacity. So I'm all for it, and I think we need some normalcy in our lives, and that's why I appreciate WWE for being able to stick around. And yes, there are cases to be made, and there's an argument to be made as to why the WWE should not have been deemed an essential service, and there's politics behind it. The fact of the matter is, I've kind of landed on this, is if WWE has the stroke to stay going and keep going, and they feel the risk of having bad PR is worth the reward of being there for fans on a weekly basis, and the ultimate PR result being, an outcome being, that the WWE was one of the very few, if any, other sport. Yeah, we're not going to get into whether or not you believe WWE is a sport. Let's just call it that. The fact is that if WWE is the only one that was able to punch through this, then they can have that as a feather in their cap, right? They can stick the flag in the ground, so to speak, and say, hey, we're the ones that piloted this storm, and we're there for fans when no other sport on the planet could do this. And you know what? Everyone is there voluntarily. I'm sure WWE management said, if you feel that you are putting yourself at risk, you don't want to risk, you know, whatever, then you don't have to be here. I truly believe that they did say that to them. And I don't mean that with a wink and a nod, like, we're saying this to you, but you better be here, right? No. I really don't think that this was a serious deal. I mean, my God, Roman Reigns pulled out, and WWE hasn't mentioned him in weeks and weeks. They even edited him out of the number one moment of Money in the Bank. They edited Roman Reigns out of it. You don't believe me? Go back and watch Raw. You watch Seth Rollins pin nobody. He just stomped Brock Lesnar, and the next thing you know, it flashes to black, and then Rollins is holding up the WWE Championship from WrestleMania 31. The heist of the century. It was a great moment, but it is interesting that they're editing out Roman Reigns from even past footage. I don't know what that means. I don't know if they're just going to the nth degree to try to get Roman Reigns out of the minds of fans. And if that's the case, I don't think that means, oh, Roman's getting fired, they're on bad terms. No, I think they're just completely distancing themselves, and I think that that's a good thing because it gives fans a time to cool off from Roman. And when he comes back, nobody's talking about him. You're not even watching him in old footage or anything. It's going to be that much more shocking, that much more impactful. And I think Becky Lynch is also a beneficiary of the break right now. We haven't seen Becky Lynch in any kind of program, so to speak, since Shayna Baszler. And I think that she's just kind of in a holding pattern until she gets past Money in the Bank to find out who is going to carry that briefcase. So Big long open to this show, guys, but thank you for joining me. I'm going to get right into more nitty-gritty details in just a minute. But if you haven't followed the show yet on Twitter, well, go ahead and do it. It's at the WWE Podcast on Twitter. Each word has an underscore underneath it, or separating each word, there's an underscore, just so you're clear. Okay. Also, you can head on over to the website at WWEpodcast.com. And if you do shopping on Amazon, there's a support the show tab right at the top of the website. And then there's a banner to Amazon. It just redirects you to Amazon and tells Amazon, hey, they sent you here. Give them a small portion of what the sale was. That's all that is. So there's a lot of other ways to support the show. If you like this show or you really hate us and you want to rant about us, well, here's your chance. Right? You guys complained, whatever. I don't care. Just go to Apple Podcasts and give me the rating and review. I would appreciate a 5-star rating if you guys like the show. But certainly, many of you have had your alternate opinions or your non-traditional opinions, right? If I'm going to use WWE language for fans that don't cheer when they're supposed to cheer or boo when they're supposed to boo, y'all are non-traditional, right? God, what a disrespectful slap in the face, isn't that? They do that every year. And this year we didn't have the honor of being called non-traditional fans as there were no fans in attendance for the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania. So, by the way, you can also get this entire feed ad-free if you head on over to patreon.com/WWE podcast if you want everything ad-free and you're tired of the ads. Easy way to do it. So head on over there and you can get a shout-out on the show and a whole bunch more stuff that I'll be adding in the future. So let's get right into Monday Night Raw. And we start off with the MVP lounge. Again, we have to have MVP toe the corporate line here and welcome us to Monday Night Raw. Why? I'm not even going to get into it. Y'all know that that's just a little thing that is such a... it's a microcosm of a larger issue of WWE language. It's... and I know I'm going to start out a little bit negative, but I have to just get it off my chest that it correlates to some other things. And I have nothing against MVP. This is not against MVP. This is against the corporate culture or the systematic nature of Monday Night Raw where somebody has to welcome us. The announcers can do that. Okay. I don't need somebody who's in an empty space welcoming us to Monday Night Raw, right? It was bad enough when they had fans there. We all know we're here, right? We bought a ticket. You know, we don't need the announcers or whoever, or, I'm sorry, not the announcers. The announcers can do it. Jim Ross did it every single Monday night, but I don't need whoever's out there first to welcome us to Monday Night Raw. Why? I mean, really, do we not know what we tuned into? We have no idea. I don't get it. And you know, again, this is a bit of a larger issue with WWE because they seem to, for every pay-per-view, have a slogan, a tagline, right? They drilled into us until we were dead, buried, and 6 feet under. They dug us up, stabbed us a couple more times, put us back under, and buried us again, right? With the WrestleMania tagline that's too big for one night, too big for one night, too big for one night, too big for one night. It's almost for before every pay-per-view that WWE, in a creative meeting or production meeting, whether it's, I don't know how the hell they hold them, in person or WebEx, I don't know. But that somebody has to decide on what the tagline is. And that's fine. I have no problem with that every pay-per-view has its own branding. But why do stars have to adhere to that language? Why? Then they're not using their own voice. It's very interruptive when they have to very unnaturally kind of slide in that they can't just say it Money in the Bank this Sunday. They have to say in the most unique Money in the Bank ladder match this Sunday. Come on. It's just a larger issue that it's such a really a micromanagement of language in WWE. That happens so many times, so many times. So anyway, okay, let's move on. I don't want to continue on this kind of a rant here. But MVP was out there, and this time he had the Raw side of the women's Money in the Bank ladder match come out, and it was Asuka, it was Shayna Baszler, and then Nia Jax, who just pushed over those velvet ropes, and kind of funnily, is that a word? I don't know. It is tonight. She tweeted out that the ropes are injured and are going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks. So I don't know. I kind of found that pretty funny. But she was kicked in the face, and Shayna and Asuka did get the best of Nia Jax, who has a good chance to win on Sunday. Do I think she's going to win? I really don't know. There's a whole lot of thought I got to put into this, because there's a lot of possibilities on the women's side. On the men's side, it seems as if, dare I say, AJ Styles is the favorite to win. But the women's side is a little bit more muddy, because you can make a case for a lot of different women. I mean, I guess Shayna Baszler is probably the favorite to win, followed by Nia Jax in a close second. And you know, but this segment here, I think, was fine. Shayna didn't say a whole lot other than she does her speaking for her actions. Her actions do the speaking for her, i.e., I'm not a great promo, so I'm just going to use my in-ring actions to fill the void of me having to be a great promo. I mean, that's just kind of what it is. And I think Shayna Baszler is great. But that's really what it is. And you're just using your weakness and covering it with your big strength of in-ring in-ring prowess and in-ring presence. And, you know, I don't know. They frame Shayna Baszler as a cage fighter. She's a cage fighter. How does that play to your advantage? She's a cage fighter. Oh, well, I don't know. Probably that she's... I mean, she's a good combat athlete, but they keep saying cage fighter, cage fighter, cage fighter. We all know she was in MMA. Wonderful. She trained with Ronda Rousey. They're great. They're good friends. Wonderful. But I don't know. They're kind of beating it into the ground that she's a cage fighter. Well, guess what? She's in WWE now, right? There's not a cage. There are ropes, and there are rules. And this is a entertainment style presentation. And so they're going a little bit over the top with her cage fighter all the time. But I did like the way that all three women were presented. Asuka is getting funnier by the week. She has gone from unwatchable to unbearable to I'm not sure to I like this to funny. And Asuka is... I think that the management probably went, you know what? We can't have her not talk. She doesn't know the English language very well. Let's just have her scream in Japanese and just be animated. Because that's what Asuka does. She's very animated, to the point of eye rolling. But Asuka, I think, hit it pretty good here. And you were able to understand some of her language. Of course, Easy Peasy was in there. I love that. I mean, it's so charmingly terrible, but it's good. I don't know how to describe Asuka's promos other than they're just charmingly bad, but I can't stop watching. So this was a good segment to set up the women and try to position the women in a somewhat of an even format so that it doesn't look like someone is the overwhelming favorite, even though if you paid attention to wrestling over the last month or two, Shayna Baszler would tend to be the favorite here in this contest. So we will have to wait and see. So that opened Raw. And I'm not going to go segment by segment here. I'm just going to jump into what my brain is going into next. And that is AJ Styles' return. So with the injury to Apollo Crews last week, WWE said that there'll be a gauntlet match this week. And then during the match, they said that we don't know how many competitors are in this match. Meh. So you have no idea? I mean, your own show that you're announcing for, you have no idea how many gauntlet competitors there are. I mean, typically there's six. I mean, but whatever. I don't think I'm nitpicking here. It's just some of the details here are just kind of sloppy. I know that they're waiting for the big payoff of it's this person, right? They wanted to get to the end so they could have the big blow off of the reveal of AJ Styles returning. And you know what? It's great to see him back. I like how he addressed the fact after he won that, yeah, he was buried, but he's back now. So what? I love it. And I like how they didn't just ignore it like I felt like they normally would. WWE oftentimes, when there's a big gap in between stars having a match and then coming back, especially if they lose, there's that tendency for WWE to pretend that that didn't happen. And I like how they address that, yeah, this match happened. I got buried. So what? I'm back. That was in the past. This is now. Perfect. Move on. Thank you for addressing it. So AJ Styles is back. I'll get a little bit more into detail about the Gauntlet match in a minute, which had a lot of interesting moments. So I'll get to that. But the AJ Styles return is what I want to get to. We all heard about Karl Anderson and Luke Gallows being let go. I think that was in most people's top three shocking names to be released. And it still kind of is, because AJ Styles is a big star. AJ Styles is arguably one of their top five, six stars that they have. And with Karl Anderson and Luke Gallows there, they were his cronies to do his bidding for the dirty work for AJ Styles to come back and pick up the pieces and take advantage. So with AJ Styles not having that crew, I don't think it helps his heel character. And with the OC now essentially disbanded, it leaves, number one, the tag team division a little bit thinner than it even already is. And AJ Styles without the cronies. I mean, could you have him realign with a couple of others? Yeah, and that's what heels tend to do, is to align themselves with people that they can use to do their dirty work. That's just the way it is. Look at Murphy. And so with AOP, although I don't know where they are either, presumably they're injured. I do miss the AOP, I will say that, particularly with Seth Rollins. But nonetheless, without Karl Anderson, Luke Gallows, AJ Styles feels a little bit naked out there. He did fine without them before. And so I think he'll be fine. I don't think this is a crippling blow to AJ Styles. It just feels out of sorts, particularly with AJ Styles still remaining a heel and now his buddies are gone. And you're wondering how that was going to be addressed by AJ. And it's not going to be, is the answer, right? There's no way that they're ever going to bring up anybody that was fired and say, oh, where are they? Why aren't they at TV now? It's not going to happen, right? So could AJ find some new cronies? He probably will, and he probably should. And with AJ Styles winning here, being the final competitor to come out, I think he has to be the heavy favorite to win on Sunday. I don't think there's even any question. I think while he's the favorite, I would say good. I hope he wins. I don't need the favorite to not win for the sake of not having favorites win to swerve us to have an underdog win. AJ Styles, I think, is the right choice to win. And you may say, oh, Aleister Black. No, let's have some patience. Aleister Black is on a good path right now. WWE's playing the long game with him. We still don't know a whole lot about Aleister Black, other than he likes to sit in dark rooms with dimly lit lights, asking people to knock on his door. And he cuts kind of slow, methodical pauses and inflections on certain words, and you pay attention to what he's saying. He's very unique. I still don't know how he's a babyface. I said this with Ashley on Saturday. How this guy is a babyface is beyond me. How he is supposed to be billed as a babyface, I just don't understand. But I guess that's a conversation for another day. The task at hand here is, for those that think Aleister Black's going to win, I think he has a small chance. And you may say, oh, but they're building him. Yeah, they are. They're building him for what you want to see, and that is eventually him in a championship match. But here's the problem. Two problems. There are two problems with this. Right now, WWE can't afford to have Drew McIntyre lose. You can't afford to have Aleister Black lose clean either, and just have Drew run him over. I don't need Drew steamrolling everybody. That's not good. I need to see Drew struggle. So you can't have either guy lose in this instance. So there's one strike. The second strike right now for Aleister Black versus Drew McIntyre, babyface versus babyface, it isn't the best matchup. People would rather see that than heel versus heel. Hell, they did it at WrestleMania 17 with Austin and Rock, the most famous babyface versus babyface high-profile match probably of all time, other than maybe Hogan and Warrior. But there's another strike, right? The dynamic isn't there yet. they haven't done enough foundational work with Aleister Black yet to build him into that spot. Third, you usually do not want a babyface winning the Money in the Bank ladder match. It's happened. Certainly, it's happened. But the match is designed for a heel to win. Think about that. The match is designed for a heel to win because what does that competitor gain from that briefcase? A championship match, anytime, anywhere that they want. That doesn't sound like a stand-up quality in a man. When someone's down, you take advantage of them. Or woman. That is not a likable trait in a human being. That when someone is at their most vulnerable, you take advantage and take something that they cherish. Right? Think about that logic. That's exactly how the Money in the Bank has been built. That's 95% of the time how the Money in the Bank has been used. And yes, John Cena. I remember when he won the Money in the Bank. He gave whoever was champion at the time like a 2-week notice or 1-week notice. Or I don't know. It was a significant notice that, hey, I'm cashing this in on this date. Be ready. Instead of the tried and true, hit them when they're down and most vulnerable. So, and honestly, that's more exciting than knowing ahead of time because you never know when the briefcase is going to be cashed in. So it's more exciting to do it that way, which means that it benefits a heel to win. And AJ Styles, I think, would fit that bill very well. AJ Styles would, I think, hang it over the head of Drew McIntyre and could do it for several weeks, several months, probably several months, and could eventually lead to, and will eventually lead to, an AJ Styles versus Drew McIntyre championship match. And could that be at SummerSlam? Yeah, it could be. It definitely could be. Because we don't know what the hell the pay-per-view is in June. Right? No idea. I think then it's Extreme Rules and then you got SummerSlam. So SummerSlam this year, I'm already booking it. It's like 4 months out. But we all expect Brock Lesnar to return. That's been Brock's schedule since he came back to WWE in 2012, I believe it was. My God, he's almost been back for 8 years. Let that sink in. Wow. Oh, man. Let that sink in that Brock Lesnar has been back with WWE almost as long or maybe longer than his first run with the company. Because when Brock came in, it was 2002. Oh, yeah, much longer. Burst onto the scene, exploded, made it through March 2004 and left. And yes, Brock went through, I mean, he went through OVW. We all know the famous class of OVW. But Brock only lasted a couple of years and made such an impact. And now he's been here for 8 part-time. I mean, this is Brock's just ideal dream schedule. So he's been here 3-4 times as long. That's crazy. All right. Well, anyway, moving on. So anyway, heel's probably going to win. I think AJ Styles has got this one locked up. I hope he wins. It's the right, it's the right choice. And to me, the strongest heel that Raw, one of the strongest heels that Raw has right now beyond Seth Rollins. And we also got a bit of a glimpse into what the WWE headquarters is going to look like and the different rooms that they could fight in, the corporate rooms, the computer room, like some kind of like teaching room, a lot of different hallways and desks. And it's exactly what you'd think. And if I recall correctly, it looked like there was a ring on top of WWE headquarters with ladders there. So they're really just fighting to get to the match. Does that make sense? Okay. The men and women here are fighting to really just get to the ring to have the match to get the briefcase. It's really just a pre-match. It's pre-match silliness.
Stay right there. The WWE podcast will return after this quick break.
Hey guys, not because you need to, but because you would want to. Improve your weight room and bedroom performance with the all-new VasoFlux for Men. It's a natural dietary supplement. This unique blend of barks, roots, herbs, and vitamins is nature's way of keeping you in the game. And for under $10, you can order yours today. Just visit Youth Fountain Laboratory at youthfountainlab.com. That's youthfountainlab, all one word, .com. Or call 1-800-853-7856. That's 1-800-853-7856. Hey, so if you guys have a podcast or are thinking about one, you know how important it is to have great audio quality and have great intros and outros. It tells your audience that you're serious about what you do. So don't leave your audio up to chance. Get it done by a professional. And look no further than Alex with DB Sound. He's on Fiverr and has over 1,300 five-star reviews. There isn't a single negative review. Guys, I've never seen this on Fiverr. So check out DB Sound. And what does he offer? Well, there are three different packages starting at $10, $20, and $30. And he offers volume leveling, noise minimizing, adding your intros and outros. He'll deliver it as an MP3 and a super quick turnaround. That's extremely important, right? You want your product done well, but you want it quickly. So again, you're going to want to search DB Sound, all one word, on Fiverr. And I'm going to put a link to this service in the description of this show, and I'm tweeting it out on my feed. So you're going to want to check this out, guys. DB Sound, go check it out and experience it for yourself, and you'll understand why there are 1,300 five-star reviews for this service. So check it out, guys. You'll be really glad you did.
Welcome back to the WWE Podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
Why couldn't they have just not done the corporate silliness and gone to the roof of the headquarters and had the match on top of headquarters in a normal ring where more moves could be performed and probably in a safer environment than if you did it through the offices and have a just inanimate objects being thrown and higher risk of injury? Plus, you got to desanitize that thing, right? I mean, whoever has to desanitize that building after this, I do not envy. Because there is going to be a lot of stuff touched. All right. Well, let's move on here to the Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre segment. And here's what I'm loving Seth Rollins right now too. Seth Rollins right now is starting to morph into who I think this Messiah character truly is. And it's not just being about being the Monday Night Messiah. He is truly taking a religious approach to this. And I love it. He feels very comfortable. He feels like he belongs in this role. How much more enjoyable is Seth Rollins as a heel than he is as a babyface? The answer is infinitely. There is a right answer here. And I know that many, including CM Punk and other wrestlers on the backstage, WWE backstage, had said, you know, the irony of this is going to be when the, you know, Seth turns heel and then they start cheering him. Nope. And I said, nope, that's not going to happen. Not going to happen. I feel as if performers and even past performers that are no longer in the active in-ring competition have some kind of blind spot when it comes to fans' true understanding of why they boo and cheer. I feel like years and years of corporate brainwash has done irreparable damage. And even CM Punk at times is not immune to that. As brilliant as he is, and we all love Punk, and I would love to see him back in the ring, there are times when you see shades of the abuse that he took mentally or the brainwashing that took place. I mean, you want an example of brainwashing? Any reaction's a good reaction. No, they're being loud. That's what you want. Yeah, nonsense. Nonsense. Garbage. You are not here to just create noise. You're here to create a specific type of noise because your opponent is also trying to get noise that is their goal to get the opposite noise you're getting. So there's a corporate brainwash piece right there. And there are many others. The fact that Vince believes that wrestling fans have the memory of a goldfish. Nobody remembers that. But back to Seth Rollins. He is just doing a brilliant job evolving, getting more in tune with what his character is about, and taking a calmer approach. You know, when he first started this Messiah character, it was a catchy name. I liked the name, and then they drilled it into oblivion. And then we all got sick of it real quick, which is what WWE does when they find a catchphrase or they find a nickname. They just beat it to death quickly. It's like the fruit stripe gum. Remember as a kid? It had like a zebra on it, a bunch of animals. And the flavor of that gum would last, you know, about as long as the sentence I've just said. And it's like that. It's great for a little bit, and then, okay, well, it's dead now. It's like... And on a really, really weird side note, if anyone's watched South Park, see where my mind goes? The scene where Stan goes into the bank to deposit his check, and he gives it to the bank teller, and after he cashes it, the bank teller says, hey, he's like, okay, Stan, we're going to put this $100 into some mutual funds, and it's gone. And that's, if you haven't seen it, just YouTube, and it's gone. South Park. You know what I'm talking about. If you haven't seen it, it's pretty funny. But anyway, moving on here, though. Seth Rollins, though, is doing great work. I love his demeanor. It's calmed down since he first transformed into this Messiah character. At first, it was kind of this blaming the fans, yelling at times. A bit more of the old Seth Rollins with just a Messiah name. Then he got the jacket. Then he got the backup. Then he lost at Mania, which hurt his character, hurt his momentum for sure, and then is starting to build himself back up in a much more kind of a quiet anger or a quiet deception type of approach. He's taking this, and again, the character is brilliant because the character is telling us that it's his cross to bear, so to speak, of course. It's his burden to carry. And that it's not me taking something from Drew. This is bigger than all of us, right? And at the end of Raw, Drew challenges Seth to basically, hey, you want to fight? Like, are we doing this after Drew beat Murphy? And Seth backed down, very chicken, you know what? Very heelish, goes up the ramp, and then after Drew's back was turned, he super kicked Drew McIntyre, and it's heel. And yes, Drew got a little bit of retribution, but I like how Drew did not hit the claymore on Seth. That's what we're looking for. I don't need to see that because it makes me want to see Money in the Bank to see that happen. See, it's just simple human psychology. When you know what the fans want to see, and you tease giving it to them, but you don't quite give it to them, and you know that they know that it'll happen at that pay-per-view that they have to pay to see, why wouldn't you do it at the pay-per-view that they are going to pay to see? I.e. now the WWE Network. But that's just very, very, very basic wrestling 101 booking, is to not give the fans exactly what they want, because when it gets to the pay-per-view, if they've already seen Drew Claymore Seth 3-4 times, yeah, the title's on the line this time, but it's not as satisfying to see Seth get laid out as it would have been if they didn't do anything. And that's exactly what they've done, other than a couple of headbutts from Drew. He has not hit his finish on Drew, and I like that. I also like that Murphy, as even Drew McIntyre slipped up this week calling him Buddy Murphy. I mean, Buddy Murphy just kind of rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Buddy Murphy. It's just inevitable that you have 3 to 5 people a year just lose their first names. I mean, why don't we just have McIntyre versus Murphy versus Rollins? I mean, like, why are we even bothering with first names? I don't trust that anybody's first name is sticking around long. It's just, we've seen too many instances of first names being axed by the chairman. I don't know what his issue is with first names, unless they show strength and they're manly and they're alpha male. No, I know Buddy isn't the strongest alpha male name in the book. Certainly not. But Buddy Murphy is I think a much smoother name than just Murphy. Right? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm alone in this. I would not have gotten rid of Buddy's name. I know that. Oh, hey, Buddy. What's up, Buddy? I get it. Okay. I get it. The way that people use the term Buddy is not exactly sometimes endearing. It doesn't really, especially if he's going to be involved with Seth, I think is what they are also thinking. It's not a good look for Seth to be hanging out with somebody called, hey, Buddy. Right. And I'm thinking that if Buddy Murphy never got involved with Seth, that they probably would have kept his name. So, something to think about. But I love everything that Seth and Drew are doing right now. I mentioned on the podcast last week on Saturday with Ashley that, you know, we were kind of disappointed that they went so quickly to Seth and Drew, because this is something they could have built upon, and maybe they will. And maybe they'll revisit it back in when we are coming up to SummerSlam in a few months. Maybe they'll revisit this, and I'll be fine with that too. But it seems kind of really quick for them to go here. And when you look at the roster, though, when you look at the roster, the depth of the heel roster, it's not very big. It's really kind of bare bones. I mean, you've got a heel team the head of it being Zelina Vega, but you have Andrade as the United States champion. You can't have him challenging for the WWE championship. You've got Angel Garza, who's up and coming. You got Austin Theory, who's up and coming. And you look around and you're like, who else is here to challenge Drew? Brock's gone until SummerSlam. Seth's around. Yeah, he lost at Mania, but we'll build him back up. It doesn't matter. I'm telling you, that's what's being said here. And then you have AJ Styles' return, which was a huge positive for the depth of the roster in general, especially obviously in the heel side. So it's great to have AJ back. I can't underscore how big that is for the championship picture and for Drew and for the company itself, as Raw went to, I believe, a 1.5, one of their lowest rating ever. I mean, understandably, though. So be very interesting to see how they bounce back. Very interesting on a weekly basis. Once things are opened up a little more and there are actual fans in attendance, how this is going to affect the ratings for WWE. Be very interested to see that. All right. So another story came out here. And actually, let me touch on this quickly. Liv Morgan and Charlotte. Liv got a career night there. She had the most productive night of her career. Beyond the silly vignettes that she did and saying she's changed and the silly Lana stuff, the love triangle and all that stuff, or even with stuff with Ruby Riott. To me, this segment with Charlotte was the best work of her career. She felt like she felt that she belonged. She may be in stature, you know, the size of Alexa Bliss. She's a damn good looking woman, as most of the women are on the roster, but she's got the presence of at least being able to fake confidence really well. Even if she truly doesn't have it, I believe her. Charlotte is standing there in her queen outfit. Everything has to end with her of bow to the queen. You're going to bow, 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 bow. Can we not have to do that every time? I don't know. I like Charlotte as a competitor. I think she is the alpha female of the women's division as a whole for the company. But do we have to say every single promo, bow to the queen, bow to the queen, and you'll bow to the queen, and I'll bow here, and you'll bow there, and I'll genuflect over here? Like, I mean, what, hopscotch? Like, what are we doing? Can we just stop talking about bowing to the queen? Oh, it's my tagline. That's my... Yeah. And you know what's great? Sometimes less is more. Everything you know is leading to, and they'll all bow to the queen. Okay. I don't know. It's not a bad line. It's fine. I mean, given that we've got queens, we've got kings, we've got princesses, we've got empresses. Geez, does it get any more Disney around here? It's just, oh, geez. It's such a, It's very Disney. I will tell you that. I just, when you look at the Disney lineup and you take the women's division and you say, hey, compare what is happening in Disney and the female character castings of Disney and put them up against WWE and what they are calling themselves. It's just something that I noticed, but anyway, so yes, everyone bows to the Queen Charlotte. We get it. But the match that Liv Morgan had, the quality of the match here was probably Liv's best ever, dare I say, at least that I've seen on TV. Maybe she had a match, a dark match that we didn't see, but her in-ring skills here, and it doesn't certainly hurt that she went against one of the best WWE has in Charlotte. But Liv held up her end and gave you some believable near falls. I mean, the double knees to the head. Believable. They didn't always hit perfectly, but we got it. And it certainly was a believable near fall. Having the Hurricane Rana be countered into a Boston Crab. Excellent stuff there. Having her finish be reversed into the figure four, bridged into the figure eight, having Liv tap. Even in a loss here, here's what I'm talking about. I've said this many times over the last couple of months. In a loss, Liv Morgan gains. Because Liv Morgan was able to compete at a high level with some of WWE's best talent on a big stage of a program with millions of people watching, and be able to hold her own against one of the best, and look like she belonged, and showed you she has, I'll use Edge's word, grit, shows you that she has it, and that she has tenacity. She showed all of that to you in just a 15-minute segment. More than we've gotten out of the entire run of Liv Morgan's career in WWE to that point. So hats off to Liv. Hats off to Charlotte. Please, let's all just lay off the bow to the queen stuff. I don't mind it, but it's every single time she speaks. Hey. Okay. So again, let's move on, but props to Liv and props to Charlotte there. And then I believe it was a quick video package before the main event of Drew versus Murphy was a quick video package with Edge and Orton. And that Edge and Orton are going to be together in Monday Night Raw next week. And that they're going to clash or confront one another or fight. I don't know. But this was pretty striking given that we all believe that this ended at Mania. It was very definitive who won. It was brutal. It was just stupidly long. And one that was arguably maybe the most disappointing matches that it wasn't in front of a live crowd, because that wouldn't have taken place backstage and it would have been structured much differently and the way that it should have been. But alas, we are in a pandemic that certainly changed all that, and it was one of the ones, if not the one, that hurt the most without a crowd. But we have Edge and Orton inexplicably being put on next week's show. Nobody explains why. Maybe we'll hear later. And assumingly that these two are headed towards another match with one another. Hopefully this one takes place inside a ring. And maybe there could be fans in attendance for it in some limited capacity. Let's hope for that. So one last thing I wanted to touch on about the Gauntlet match with really Lashley being the dominant one in this match until he got disqualified because of his own actions. The dynamic between Lana and Lashley. There's some rumors floating around that Lana's in heat with WWE management or has heat with them and whatever. I mean, you hear rumors about that all the time. But if that's the case, that certainly would make sense, showing that on air, Lashley is telling Lana that he doesn't want her at ringside because she will distract him with her beauty. And Lana's really been a non-factor for many, many weeks now. And other than changing her hair color, I mean, that's the most significant thing that she's done over the last 2 months. And having Lashley kind of push her aside is telling about what could be coming for Lana. And I don't want to say that she's going to get canned. I'm not saying that. It's possible. But what I'm saying is in a much more reduced role where maybe Lashley breaks up with her and they go their separate ways and Lana gets thrown into a enhancement talent or another managerial role that is not of high profile as Lashley. I mean, so there could be something coming, but there is something to this about Lashley telling Lana he doesn't want her at ringside. So keep an eye on that. But Lashley really here dominated most of the match and went through, what, 3-4 opponents before eventually succumbing to his own sword and falling on his own sword. And really, I think here the focus on that or the story on that is they're going to be looking to Lashley for maybe that next opponent for Drew in the interim. Yes, we're going to get to AJ and Drew, but I think that's a ways out. Yes, Seth Rollins and Drew could have another pay-per-view match, or maybe this is it, and then they'll go back to it at SummerSlam or beyond. But with Bobby Lashley here being the alpha male in the match, running through, who was it? I think Apollo Crews was one of them, or not Apollo Crews, Titus O'Neil, Shelton Benjamin, and Akira Tozawa. And I will say, Akira Tozawa is a punching bag lately. I mean, he's been getting kicked in the face by Black Mass. He got eliminated by Bobby Lashley. Somebody else just beat him up too recently over the last few weeks. And so Akira Tozawa is really getting getting the shaft over the last few weeks. And I don't know if that means he has heat or if they're just using him as a glorified enhancement talent. But the fact of the matter is, just keep an eye on Akira Tozawa, who is losing at a rapid rate. But anyway, we had Humberto Carrillo here. He always has a good showing. And then it turned into AJ Styles, who, I mean, look, him and Humberto have past history. He was the United States champion. I remember the belt went back and forth a couple of times. Don't forget that. So they knew they were going to be able to get a good finish out of these two because they worked together previously. So, interestingly, we didn't get a whole lot from Zelina Vega this week. Disappointing. You guys know I'm a huge fan. And so, like, you can't have every show have 5 segments a show. But I thought WWE was latching on to something there. And I was hoping they would give her nothing. They didn't even, as far as I know, give her even a spot to speak beyond standing at the ring and doing her magic outside of the ring and cheering on Austin Theory or cheering on Angel Garza. And so it was disappointing. I didn't get to see a whole lot of Zelina, but that's just the way the show goes. You can't focus on the same people all the time, especially 3 weeks in a row now. But I would anticipate bigger things down the line. And y'all know that I am rooting for it. And so check that out. If you want my full thoughts on Zelina Vega, I mean, you can really go back to my last couple of shows. So, alrighty. Well, I think that's it for now, guys. I mean, this is pretty much Raw in a nutshell. I know there were certain things I didn't touch on. I know that for a fact because, I have Hulu. So that means I take advantage of Hulu and I do not see the full show. And I have to go back and check the notes. But thank you guys for listening. Again, hit me up on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. You can also go to the website if you want more info. And you can get an ad-free experience. If you're just tired of the ads, go on to patreon.com/WWE Podcast. You'll be able to get an ad-free experience, guys. So, as always, thank you so much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with your wrestling nostalgia as we kick back, put our feet up, and we just enjoy the past and enjoy the golden age of wrestling. I still haven't decided what I'm going to do yet as far as a topic, but it'll come to me and I'm looking forward to tomorrow night. It's one of my favorite shows of the week. So pay attention to that forthcoming. And as always, guys, thanks so much. I'll talk to you soon. So if you guys have a podcast, obviously like I do, or if you're thinking about starting one, you're not sure where to start or what kind of tips and help you may need, you guys should really head over to Fiverr and check out DB Sound. This is a guy that has been doing this for years, and he will edit your audio, make sure that it sounds good. If you have intros or outros, he'll stick those in there as well. And if you're concerned about what others have to say, don't be concerned. His rating is 5 out of 5 stars, and that's with over 1,200 reviews. So You guys should have no worries in terms of if he's going to give you a good quality product, because he will. I've seen it. And if you are thinking about getting into the audio space and podcasting, check him out. You can, he'll also edit any YouTube videos that you may have in audio. And obviously, if you are outputting your sound in multiple formats and you want to be on Apple Podcasts and everything else, you need to have great sound. The sound quality is everything in podcasting. It's the only way you communicate with your audience, and DB Sound is going to be the way to go. He is one of the most respected sellers on Fiverr, and I can tell you that with confidence. One of the highest rated. So check out DB Sound. I'll put on a link on my Twitter feed as well for those that may have trouble finding him. So check out my Twitter feed. And again, the seller's name is DB Sound, and he is just absolutely amazing at what he does in editing and taking out the ums and ahs and pauses and all that kind of stuff that you may not want to do as a podcaster, whether you're a veteran or you're just starting out. He understands the necessity of the quality of audio that you put out there as a podcaster. So check him out. It's DB Sound, and I'll put a link on my Twitter feed. Hey guys, not because you need to, but because you would want to improve your weight room and bedroom performance with the all-new VasoFlux for Men. It's a natural dietary supplement. This unique blend of barks, roots, herbs, and vitamins is nature's way of keeping you in the game. And for under $10, you can order yours today. Just visit Youth Fountain Laboratory at youthfountainlab.com. That's youthfountainlab, all one word, .com. Or call 1-800-853-7856. That's 1-800-853-7856.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show. Or head to WWEPodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE Podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.